Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I put in the bulletin that we were going to do 1 through 5, but we're going to do 1 through 4 tonight because 5 goes better with the next message, okay? And so, Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, all right? I'm a little slow this evening, so forgive me, please. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And we'll stop right there. Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer and ask Brother Don McCaslin, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. As you know by now, the repeated theme of the book of Romans is faith, redemption by faith, and salvation not of works, but salvation by grace through faith. And it's over and it's over. And we get to this part, along the way you say, well, this just repeats, it repeats. Well, it does repeat. And it repeats because it's so very important. But we get to a part where now faith becomes a big deal. Okay? I mean, it's where the rubber meets the road kind of thing in chapter 5. And we see the benefits of salvation by grace through faith. And it says in verse 1, having been justified by faith, we have peace. And that's what we're going to talk about, just the benefits of your faith. Okay? Number 1, we're justified, and at the risk of repeating, we're justified by faith. That word justified means to demonstrate that someone is right with God. Okay? The only avenue that you or I have that we are right with God is our faith. That's our only claim as we go before God. But this is really an interesting phrase, having been justified by faith, in that it's aorist tense, and aorist is it puts it in a mood or a meaning that it's done once and for all. It's a statement of an accomplished fact. Listen, if you do not have assurance of your salvation, you need to get that straight, okay? You need to know where you're going when you leave this place. But once you have that accomplished, established fact that you have been saved by grace through faith, then number 1, we have peace. The first thing that we think of in peace is a state of tranquility, calm, quiet, no waves. I like peacefulness, don't you? The older I get, the more I like peacefulness. But that's not what this is talking about, okay? The peace that this is talking about is the state of being right with God, okay? It's the peace that comes from being made righteous through faith, okay? Meaning you're no longer an enemy of God. Do you know where the fight is for the sinner? It is the fight of being declared a sinner. And we're living in a country today in which there is continual turmoil. All the demonstrations, all the gay rights and the abortion rights and all, you know, the bottom line is I've come to the realization that they're not fighting us. They're fighting God. Amen. And what I've discovered about being wrong is the more wrong I am, the louder I yell. Do y'all do that? I mean, the more stubborn I become, the more wrong I am. It's just kind of human nature. And that's why, you know, all these rights, the abortion rights, the gay rights, and every other, you know, immoral right that's being shouted from the rooftop today, They shout it as though they're fighting everybody, but they're not fighting the Christians. They're fighting God. You know? And the fact is, on the inside, they know. They know they're wrong. And they're at odds with God. Just like any sinner. We've all heard the stories of how people would sit in services and their knuckles would turn white from gripping the back of the seats. Have you ever heard that? Why is that? Because you're at odds with God. But I want to tell you something. Isn't it nice to be able to come to the house of God and just commune and fellowship with God and not be an enemy of God? Isn't that, and that's what Paul is talking about here. Excuse me. That's what Paul is talking about, the benefit of our faith. We're at peace with God. It's so much deeper, like I say, than that state of calmness. It is being able to come into His presence without the conviction of sin. To come into His presence without the turmoil of knowing things are not right with God. We're justified by faith, and because of that justification, we have peace with God, and through whom we have access to grace. It gets even better. Not only are we at peace with God, but we have an entrance or a right to enter in to the grace of God. Instead of being shut out from God, it's like having the golden ticket to the favor of God. Have you ever felt unworthy as you go before God? I have to, you know, we all have. And the fact is, we are unworthy. But you know, if we get caught on the unworthiness and we focus, there are some people, well, I'm unworthy, I'm not even going to ask. No, you don't get what you have through salvation by grace through faith. You have access to the grace of God. Meaning, yes, you are unworthy, but our only plea as we go before God is the blood of Jesus Christ. You know? That's what makes us worthy. And you know, very few people have access to men like the President of the United States. You know? And those who do, they have a claim or they've done something to gain by merit. If you and I went to the White House today and said, we want to see Mr. Donald Trump, likely as not, we'd not get that privilege. But do you realize, with this statement of you have access of grace, you have entrance before the Creator of the universe. And not only do you have entrance, He likes you. He loves you. So much so, He gave His Son so that you could have eternal life. And it doesn't stop there. Not only do we have access by faith into His grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Plain language in which we boast or we brag on the basis of the glory of God. You know what the good thing is about being a child of God? A child of faith? The good thing is I can't stand before you and brag about what I've done. And you can't stand before me and brag about what you've done. But can't we all stand before anyone and say, look at our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah? Do you brag on Him? You have been given that privilege to celebrate that you're no longer at odds with God. To celebrate that He's not a distant God. It's uncaring. But you're the focus of His favor. Let the world know. Let your family know. Let your friends know. Let everybody know how awesome our great God is. But the benefit doesn't stop there. The benefit doesn't stop there. In verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Now we just took a right turn and ran off in the ditch. We talk about all the glory of God and salvation by grace through faith and bragging on God. And then Paul has to bring in that T word, tribulation. Okay? The word literally means pressure. Okay? But he said, we glory or we boast in our tribulation. And that word boast, it carries the idea of a triumph or victory. As in, I'm going to win. I'm winning. Can the joy of your justification by faith stand during time of trouble? That's the question. During tribulation. Paul says not only can it stand, it can thrive. You know? We've got to hold that thought of victory. I'm going to win. Doesn't matter what you're going through. If you're a child of God, you're going to win. I've heard people who've been diagnosed with terminal illness and talking to them, and they say, well, if God heals me, I win. And if God doesn't heal me, I win. How can they make such a statement as that? Because they know where they're going. This life is not all there is. Listen, as you're going through trouble, realize you're a winner, and you're not a winner because of what you've done. You're going to win because of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And He's faithful to the end. I know also that when I'm going through times of tribulation, and you know what? I've discovered the best education you can get is tribulation. Yeah? That's when you learn the most, because that's when your ears are open and you're on your knees, right? But not only is it about the trouble, but it's about what God's working to produce in you. I love this part. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing. What does it mean to know? To have confidence. Okay, you're fully convinced. You know this about what you're going through. Okay? Just as sure as you know 2 + 2 = 4, right? In most mathematical equations, just as you know any fact of life, you know that tribulation is producing something beyond just your suffering. It's producing perseverance, steadfastness, adherence to the course. In our language, I refuse to quit. Okay? Trouble puts you in that, makes you so that you refuse to quit. And we live in a society that doesn't get that concept anymore. Marriage gets tough, I quit. You know, church gets tough, I quit. My job gets hard, I quit. We live in a society of quitters, but the reality is, as a child of God, as a Christian, we cannot afford to quit. As a matter of fact, what you're going to discover is the more determined you become, the more real God's going to become in your life. And then you'll discover that no matter what comes in this life, nothing's going to take your faith from you. I really feel for those who have been hurt in church, and so they don't have time for church anymore. They don't get it. They missed an opportunity to grow. I really feel sorry for those who, and I've heard people say, I'm mad at God. You don't get it. You don't get it. What you're going through is producing something better for the glory of God and for your benefit. That's why Paul says, I can glory, I can brag as I'm going through tribulation, because that means God is trying to create something better in me. Not only tribulation. Not only does tribulation produce perseverance, but perseverance produces character. That word character is not the way we use the word in the English language today. Okay, we think of a character, we think of the way that I am or how I'm how I conduct myself. But character actually means proof or evidence of who you are. See, perseverance that produces character will prove two things. All right? It will prove that you are what you say you are. You know, faith that has never been tested is weak. All right? That's why Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:7 that the genuineness of your faith are being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it pleases it, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, the honor, and the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, we can make all kinds of claims today, but what people want to know is, are you real? And what we go through, the tribulation that produces character, or the proof that we are what we say we are, that makes us real in the eyes of everyone around us, including ourselves. You may be going through something today. You say, I don't know that I'm strong enough to know this. Well, there's good news. Or, I don't know that I'm strong enough to get through this. There's good news. Okay? Because not only does it prove who you are, who you say you are, it proves that God is who He says He is. You ever gone through those times that you thought, I can't do this. Lord, I just can't do this. I cannot do this. Lord, if you don't do something, I'm not going to make it. And what did God do? He did something, didn't He? He did something. He carried you through it. He might have taken the situation out of the way. He might have fixed the situation. He might have just gave you a strength that comes from Himself. But He always showed up. You see, when we say that character is produced from tribulation and perseverance that produces character, it's proof. It's proof. You know, Jesus could say, I love you. And we could say, okay, I believe it. But when Jesus hung on that cross and He suffered the agony of crucifixion, it was just talking to someone this morning, I don't remember who. Jesus didn't just die. He wasn't just killed. He was tortured to death. And He did it because He loves you. That's why you back up and say, you can't question the love of Jesus. As Miss Mary Lou just sang about a while ago, you know. I love you. And if you don't get it by now, what's it going to take for you to get it, you know, for this world to get it? We go on. Not only that, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. Confident expectation. That's what hope is. Knowing that something's going to happen. And what does tribulation and all that you go through produce? It's going to produce an attitude in you, a knowledge of knowing that you can trust God. It's one thing to say, I trust God. It's quite another to be able to say, I've been through the fire and God was there with me. You know? You look at great people of the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know that story. When they were in the fire. It wasn't just three of them. How many were there? Four. It's likened to the Son of Man. The king says, I see the fourth man. Like the Son of Man. In there. Who was it? Jesus was in there with him. You know, Daniel in the lion's den. God shut the lion's mouth. Daniel wasn't in there alone. You look at all the men of the New Testament. Peter. Imprisoned and all the apostles in prison. Paul, persecuted. He couldn't go anywhere without trouble following him. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 10, we're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not dismayed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. You know what Paul figured out? Paul figured out, I can count on God. You know? That's what our faith leads to. As we go through these trials and these tribulations, we figure that out. All these great men of the Bible, all the great women of the Bible, were who they were because their faith was challenged. Yeah, you may be here tonight and you're going through a challenge. It's going to be okay. How do I know? If you're a child of God, He's already got it worked out for you. May not be easy. It may be more than you think you can handle. And you're probably right. It probably is more than you can handle. But what you're going to discover is that God is faithful in every situation. You may be here tonight and you're not going through trials. Good, enjoy it, because they'll come. And when they do come, you remember what Paul said. God's working all things for our good. You may be here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We want to give you the opportunity to be saved. Are you a child of God? If not, come to Him tonight. Listen, it's good to know where you're going. It's good to experience the love of Jesus Christ. And you can only experience that love by calling upon Him for salvation. Have you done that? If not, we want to give you a verse of invitation. And if you need to be saved, I invite you to come forward. If there's another need in your life, I'd invite you to do what the Lord leads you to do. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word, for the reminder that You are faithful. That's a reminder of the ups and downs of life, Lord, they only work to make us stronger in our faith, better servants for You. Oh, Lord, we glory in You, a great Savior, a mighty God, knowing that we're not worthy except but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's that blood that cleanses us from unrighteousness and enables us to stand before a holy and awesome God, white as snow. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.